This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Greetings, this is Harry. I represent the Reformed Church of Hastings, being one of the Reformed Churches of New Zealand. Our place of worship is 1234 Howard Street, Park Vale. You're most welcome to join us in worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. and also at 4:30 p.m. Do join us. If you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not be disappointed. God is the same Lord of all and richly blesses all who call to him. As the Bible tells us, everyone who calls out to the Lord Jesus Christ for help will be saved. Greetings again in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, over the years, we, as parents, have transported our children to various sports on Saturday mornings. Now, I'm not much of a sports follower, and having been out of the Saturday sports scene for quite a few years, it struck me afresh just how many parents and families are involved in this Saturday morning pilgrimage to a variety of sports games all the year round, not to mention the practice sessions during the week at the local schools or other venues. We would drive to the netball as though we were part of an entourage. Three cars before me were travelling in the same sports event, several behind me. Now, this went on for some distance. Then, round the corner, you see hundreds of parked cars. The parking area was already full. The main street was full up for quite some distance, as well as the side streets. Goodness, where to park? On a grand scale, I thought, this is probably happening in most towns throughout the country. Wow, I thought, that's amazing. What commitment and dedication from the players for their teams and for the game, not to mention the commitment from parents and family to bring the children and youth to these games. And, of course, all those practice times. What an obvious display of love for the sport, and I might add, in all kinds of weather. And as you look at the sidelines of the games being played, there are not just parents, brothers and sisters, but also grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, some holding on to their coffees or hot soups to keep warm while watching and waiting, ready to cheer and encourage the players and their teams. Wouldn't it be great, I thought, if we could apply all this enthusiasm and commitment to our spiritual lives and our children's spiritual lives? How committed are we as parents to teaching our children spiritual truths from the Scriptures and helping them daily to apply these to the game of life, a game which has many ups and downs. It has joys and sorrows to cope with. How far are you willing to put aside what we want to do on a Saturday morning in order to take our children to sport and watch them play? How far are we willing to go to give up some of our time and sit with our children and our grandchildren and read to them, teaching them biblical truths? Or from perhaps reading Bible storybooks and teaching them about the Lord God and their Creator and about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, some of you may not place much importance on this and let this precious time slip by. You know, thousands of children are growing up today without God, without a knowledge of the Lord God and His Word, the Bible. What consequences does this hold for future generations of New Zealanders? You know, New Zealand has one of the highest statistics in the world for youth suicides. It's alarming. Young lives are so easily entangled and complicated by mixed emotions, by trying to stand on their own two feet, establish their own set of values as they experiment with life and with relationships and with battling with what is right and what is wrong. Many come to a point where they see no answers, no help, no guidance, and no hope. They see no way out except by ending their lives. How incredibly tragic and sad for them and their families. These youths are not equipped to deal with the problems of life around them, which seem to get more complicated as the generations go by. I have often heard grandparents comment, "Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to raise children today in a society with all these trappings." And they continue, you know, with drugs, alcohol, and new technologies and the fast pace of life, the pressures and expectations and demands made on parents and children to perform and get good results in education and so on, and their parents having to earn money to pay bills with both parents working to make ends meet. Again, I ask, as parents and grandparents, are you bringing the Lord God into the picture of life for the children, for their future? As parents, we need to at least be aware that we are responsible for raising our children, not the government. The children are born and presented to us. These are our future leaders of our nation. Investing time with our children now is investing into their future, as well as our own. We also need to be aware that there are eternal consequences for ourselves and for our children if we live lives without God, apart from God. If you don't seem to agree with those statements, just take a look around at our society's morals. The fabric is disintegrating before our very eyes, the results of which can be observed readily. Look, why not start today by opening your Bibles and reading with your children? You can give them a Christian heritage, a solid foundation upon which to build. You can bring them hope in an often despairing world. And I'd also like to encourage you to seek out a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church community in your area. From the Bible, you can teach your children truth. You can teach them guidelines to apply when they face crises in their lives, which they all invariably will at different times, and guidelines to use when they need to make difficult decisions or to make hard choices, guidelines to use when everyday problems rise up and life seems too tough to handle. In the second book of Timothy, there in the New Testament, we read that all Scripture, meaning the Bible, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and a training in righteousness. We do love our children, don't we? We drive out in our thousands throughout the country each Saturday for their sports and during the week for practice. So how much effort is needed to read the Bible to them or to read Bible stories? To play a good game, regardless of which sport, you need to be fit. You need to train your body, build up muscles, build up skills, listen to the coach and play as a team, and obey the rules, display good sportsmanship, perseverance, and so on. You know, the same applies to our spiritual lives. We need to read the Bible. We need to come to know who God is, who we are, how we are to relate to God and to each other. We need to remember what we read and think about it and see how we can apply what we read to our lives. There may be things we read in the Bible that we do not understand. Then what? Do we give up? No, we go and seek help. You can call us in the number I will give at the end of the program. You can also contact that faithful Bible-believing church. Perhaps you have a Christian friend who you can talk to. Now, the more you read God's Word and try to faithfully apply it to your life, the more you draw near to the Lord God and the more you become aware of your failings and how far short you fall of the standard God sets before us. But you don't stop there. You don't back away then, because it is just at that point that you will appreciate and value the work of our Lord Jesus Christ through His death on the cross, a death of suffering. Our Lord took the punishment for our sins, for our rebellious ways. He suffered for us so that our sins will and have been forgiven. He paid the ransom with His blood to set us free from an overburdened conscience, from guilt, and from a slavery to sin, a price that we could never, ever hope to pay. So, you don't have to beat yourself up when you sin. Instead, in prayer, take it to the Lord and place your burdens at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other place you can be relieved of the guilt of your rebellious ways, of your sins, relieved of the knowledge of sin. Unconfessed, relieved of the baggage of the consequences and the merry-go-rounds that rebellion and sin carries with it. And even more wonderful, you know, it is free. Nothing you say or do can earn you this gift. Nothing else can give you the confidence and assurance that you can start afresh and that you are cleansed and forgiven. More than that, you can claim the many promises that the Lord God makes in the Bible. For example, in Hebrews chapter 13, there we have a promise, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." A promise which can bring much comfort in trials and the difficulties in life. If our children see in us a love for the Lord, a willingness to serve and obey Him, walking humbly before Him, depending on Him, what a great witness and an example for our children to follow. And even when we do fail, and when we do fall, when we sin and make mistakes, our children can learn from how we deal with these events. Do we ignore our mistakes or excuse them? Or do we admit to them, confess them, and ask for forgiveness? Acknowledging our mistakes, our sins, is not being weak, but strong in your humility. You know, it takes guts to admit you're wrong. It takes guts to ask for forgiveness. And we need to look to God's Word as a light shining in a dark place. To my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is the
to your side, and I will love you to the
Like I said, it takes guts to admit that you're wrong. It takes guts to ask for forgiveness. Of course, it's always easy to justify the wrong we do or blame somebody or something else. It's easy to criticize others and see their faults. But it is more difficult to see your own faults and then own up to them and ask for forgiveness. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus declares, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Here, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So our children will learn far more from our example than from what we tell them. So how can we encourage our children and grandchildren to read the Bible or to pray if they never see us with an open Bible or never hear us pray? How can we show our love for the Lord if His name is never on our lips, if we never acknowledge the Lord God, and if they never hear us speaking about the Lord or His Word? For it is the things that live in our heart that we speak about. Jesus Christ said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 15, "The things that come out of the mouth come from the heart." If we love the Lord, we will talk about Him. We will want to talk about Him. If we love sport, then you will always be happy to talk about that. You'll be informed about current sports events and results. You will have accumulated much knowledge about different sports. You'll know the rules of the games. You will know about outstanding players and memorable scenes from well-known games. You know, even as Christians, we are guilty of not showing our love for the Lord to our children. How important is faith in God in your life? In our lives, how important is it for us, for our children, to know about God, about His Word, about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer? Let us take a moment in prayer. O Lord our God, You alone are gracious, loving and righteous. We thank You that Your faithfulness, Your mercy and patience continues to abound for Your people. Yet we live our lives, it seems, to please ourselves. We live lives too busy, focused on ourselves, to look up to heaven and acknowledge You. Lord, forgive our pride, which is never satisfied, but continually seeks to elevate man in any and every situation. Forgive us, Lord, for forgetting You. We pray that You may stir the hearts of those listening today to look to You, to seek You with all their hearts, and to look into Your Word, Your precious Holy Scriptures. May your Holy Spirit give them the courage to apply the truth in your word into their lives. For then may we all be motivated to pass on the knowledge of God and the truth of your word to bring a living hope, a living faith to our children and the future generations of this nation. We ask this so that your name, Lord, may be honored and glorified. For only in you, Lord Jesus, our Savior, can we have any hope. Through your suffering for our disobedience, for our sins. And through that we are washed clean in your blood. May everything that has breath praise you, O Lord, for you alone are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. We pray this in the mighty name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for joining us today in this short devotion. We pray that this has been encouraging to you to seek the Lord and to seek out God's people. The Lord willing, we will be back in 2 weeks at this time. Also, today's program will be repeated this Sunday at 1 p.m. And also, our program is played on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. If you would like to make a comment, please give us a call. Our number is 876062. 0687 600 62. And now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen to that. Now in Psalm 27, the writer declares that it is the Lord God, that he is my light and my salvation, the solution to life's problems both here and now and into eternity. Is the Lord God, is the Lord Jesus Christ your light and your salvation? If so, praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men come to me and use their tongues against me, when enemies attack me, they will stumble and fall. One thing I will come to ask of God the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may live within the Lord's own house all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty, to seek him in his temple. He'll hide me in his shelter and he'll lift me up high. Then I will be raised above my enemies who are all around. I'll go to his place and make a sacrifice with a shout of joy. I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music as I sing to the Lord.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light, my salvation.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light, my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men come to me and use their tongues against me, when enemies attack me, they will stumble and fall. sacrifice. With a shout of joy, I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music. I'll sing and bring him music as I sing to the Lord.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light and my salvation.
Sing to the Lord.
He is my light and my salvation. Sing to the Lord.
Sing to him.
Sing to the Lord.
Sing to him.
Sing to the Lord. He's the light of my salvation.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.